Can he do it again? Mike Kidd. Billy stops, pops, fires! Billy, get here again!
Gets a touch, and he helps out.
Oh, that is a man's jam! DeMarcus Cousins nearly brought down the backboard and rim.
You're now listening to the King's Court Podcast, presented by SackKingsNation.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the King's Court Podcast. I'm your host, Vince Miracle, and joining me today on this, I would guess, say emergency podcast, instant reaction podcast, is very special guest, KHDK's own Jason Ross. Jason, how you doing?
I'm good, Vince. How are you?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little bit on edge after this deal, but other than that, I get to talk to you. It's been a little while, so I'm doing okay. I got to know, though, how are you feeling after you heard the news?
I was surprised. A little bit in one sense that the deal actually happened and specifically happened today on All-Star Sunday. I mean, that was a little bit strange. Not entirely shocked. And I would say in about the last 2 weeks, I had heard more about Vivek warming up to this idea. I knew Vlade had been there and was willing to move DeMarcus for the right deal, but Vivek was not. And once that started to change, I thought it was possible. But I think overall, maybe the biggest surprise is what they got in return, knowing that when you trade a star, you're not going to get back fair value. But it also opens up the door to tell you what maybe the market was really out there for DeMarcus Cousins.
Right. And for those who don't know, I'll just summarize it up real quick here, is that DeMarcus Cousins has been traded to the New Orleans Pelicans for Buddy Hield, Tyreke Evans, Langston Galloway, and a first and second round pick in the 2017 draft this year. So that is the deal. DeMarcus Cousins and actually Omri Caspi is a part of this deal as well. So Cousins, Caspi to the Pelicans for Evans, Galloway, Hield, and a first and second round pick in this year's draft. So yeah, you brought up the return, Jason. That's the thing that I think is getting a lot of Kings fans. At least that's the thing that got me, because I knew about the thought process of potentially moving DeMarcus Cousins and that the franchise has been thinking about doing it, but they've been close to the belt on, like, you know what, let's try and keep him here because Vivek really wanted him here. But then his mind kind of changed, and I'm going to ask this to you because this is my personal opinion. I haven't heard anything about this, but from my personal opinion and from how I've seen it, is after that Boston game and then also after how the team with DeMarcus Cousins on the bench came back in that Atlanta Hawks game to take the win, that's when things started turning, like, hey, he's been suspended now. He's getting these technicals. Is he really the guy to take us to that next level? And those two games are really what set into his mind, like, okay, let's think about moving in a different direction. Do you think that's where it started changing for Vivek as well?
Yeah, I think there's two parts to it. I think that's one big one. I think the team has been difficult to root for with him on the floor, despite all the flash, despite all the great stats that he provides and the all-star that he is. But he's a tough one to rally around, I think, for the fans. I mean, they love the team. They love anything about Sacramento, but he's a hard one to totally wrap yourself around and be 100% passionate for. And so when they played without him, they were huge underdogs, and no one thought they could beat Boston. They played their hearts out, and they got one great win. I was just one. But the other part, Vince, I think is really a key, is the big extension that was going to be coming. And if the Kings did do it this summer, this next summer, or coming up here in a few months, and gave him the $220+ million, by that new rule as well, you couldn't trade him for another year once you've signed him. So if that was the case, you would have played him through the seventh season, signed him to an extension. You couldn't trade him until after year eight. Now you're into year nine, and is it the right thing? Is he clearly going to be the best big man at the end of all that? So there were a lot of big decisions, and they weren't winning a ton enough with him. So I think that's probably all how it weighed together, that are they going to give him the franchise money and not have as much room around him to build? And I think they just decided to change course and do a reboot and see if they still could compete for the eight this year, and if not, utilize the picks and hopefully get all that stuff right and start building again from the bottom.
And now, and that's a great way to move beyond this next point here, is that they are only 1.5 games behind the Denver Nuggets for that eighth seed. And the pieces that they got back, whether it be Tyreke Evans, Buddy Hield, or Langston Galloway, people that, that they you assume are going to be in the roster. I have this weird feeling, and Jason, you can counter this if you think differently, if you heard anything, but I think that they may waive Matt Barnes, and I think they may also do the same to Langston Galloway. But the pieces that they got back in return, it doesn't seem like that they can really fight for a playoff spot this year. At the same time, you don't want them to tank too hard and go on that downward spiral because of the swap rights that they have with Philadelphia. So, I mean, and then on top of that, the pick that they got from New Orleans, it's top three protected. So, I know they're not going to do it, but the fact that they have the possibility for New Orleans to tank the rest of this year and still potentially get that first through third pick is kind of where I drew the line of, like, that was a really bad deal. I mean, Tyreke, he's still banged up. He's injured with that knee injury up and down. Buddy Hield, while he's been good, and he's a little ballsy. That's a DeMarcus Cousins joke. he hasn't shown promise. He's been a little inconsistent throughout the year. He's shown signs. There's been, like, glimmers of hope, but he's kind of had that up and down roller coaster year, maybe like a Ben McLemore freshman year type of thing. So I don't know what I'm supposed to expect from him. And I don't see why expiring contracts are that big of a deal to the Kings when you look at, they have no point guards under contract. They have, you know, they have those guaranteed money for Aflalo and Tolliver where they can buy them out. And they have a pretty good contract in Kufis where they can potentially move them. And then, of course, McLemore is a restricted free agent. So my question is this, after that long-winded up to this question. Do you think that they're still going to try to compete for that eighth seed at all, or do you think it's really time to where they're going to start really focusing on this draft, especially with March Madness coming up, and see what players they can get in this draft to better themselves for the future?
Yeah, I think they're absolutely going to try to compete for eight. Now, they may not have enough, and so if it gets to a point where they're not going to make it, you know, then they could have planned accordingly to that. But I look at a team like Denver, who's currently in the eighth spot. They don't have an all-star. I mean, Jokic is playing really well, but that's not a star-studded lineup. I would recite even Dave Yeager a year ago when he lost all of his best players to injury at Memphis, and they still competed and were a very difficult team. And once they made the playoffs, they were too undermanned. But I anticipate this team playing and playing hard and competing. I would think that's the one slice of identity this team had, even with DeMarcus Cousins, was that they competed. They would have their bad quarters. They would have their 20-point deficits. They'd have their 20-point leads, but they would compete and have competed all the way to the end of the game. So I think they're going to continue to fight for it. And then if they don't get it, well, the bonus is with what it could do for their picks. But I also see this as a great opportunity to try and let Willie Cauley-Stein develop in the final 25 games, see what you have there, see what you have in the guy that you seem to like the most in this trade in Buddy Hield. I think Tyreke will be gone at the end of this. And the one thing you brought up earlier too, Vince, I wouldn't be so quick to waive Langston Galloway if I'm the Kings. He signed this year and at a favorable contract next year. I'm not saying he's a great player, but his value for price for being a rotation guy is something I would be intrigued by. So, you know, the positive, there's plenty of negatives to look at this. I would say the positives are if you develop Willie and Buddy Hield the rest of the final 25 games, you're bringing in Bogdanovich, you could have two top 10 picks and a lot of salary cap money to sign a Jrue Holiday or a Jeff Teague or one of these free agent point guards, and the team will look dramatically different next year. They were going to look different with Cousins or without, but that's more the positive way of what it could be. But it also could be a deal where you go, wow, Buddy Hield's not really living up to what we thought, and DeMarcus is racking up 30 and 20 in New Orleans. So there's a lot of different ways this can go.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head where you said the deal, that's the only promising sign for the Kings is they have a lot of possibilities. They have a lot of ifs or coulds that can happen. But when you, honestly, the way I'm looking at it right now, this is just instant reaction, and that's what I'm trying to make this podcast about, is instant reaction from seeing that deal on paper and hand on hand, is that the Kings made a bad deal. I there's no way around it. This, to me, is a really bad deal. I see both sides of it, though. Like, I understand moving DeMarcus Cousins. I think everyone kind of knew the issues that were going on, whether you only know pieces of it or you knew the large portion of it. You knew there were problems going inside with DeMarcus Cousins, and there was a huge cloud over the team about whether or not he was that guy that you wanted to give the keys to and say, hey, make our team better. We're going to build around you because you're the franchise centerpiece. I don't know if they really wanted to do that anymore, because what has he really done other than put up those amazing numbers but never make it to the playoffs? And then also everything that's happened this year just with the public and the reporters and stuff like that. But then after this collective bargaining agreement, though, I didn't think that they would move him, because now trying to acquire a star, doesn't it seem like it's going to be a little bit harder for them? Because this collective bargaining agreement does favor the team that they're currently on, the team that the superstars are currently on. So what players are out there? Yeah, you have a Jeff Teague, but why wouldn't he want to stay with the Pacers with Paul George and guys like that? Drew Holiday, yes, he's an unrestricted free agent, but now you see Boogie Cousins is there with Anthony Davis. They can move the pieces to still have the money to get him. I just don't see anybody in free agency that they can go after that says, yes, I want to come to Sacramento. And this is going to be the bigger part of my question, is we're seeing the reports now that because of the way the Kings handled DeMarcus Cousins, a lot of agents don't know if they can trust the Kings. So do you think that plays into a factor when they're going after some of these key guys in free agency?
That could. I mean, that's definitely a byproduct of what could this could be. But the other part is money talks. And
that's
the reality of where the Kings were with DeMarcus or without, they were likely going to have to overpay a free agent to come here. So I think they're still in that same situation if, you know, the money this summer eventually would be crazy again. But if the market, let's say, seems to have, we mentioned Jeff Teague, at $20 million, $22 million, well, the Kings may have to come in at $25, and that seems crazy. But if you want them, that's what you're going to have to do. So I think they could still get somebody that's they'd be willing to overpay for, but that's probably the situation they're going to have. And then the other reality is something they haven't been great at lately is drafting. But what they do draft, whether it's high, whether it's two picks mid-round or move some of those for a higher pick, they'll have some flexibility. But whatever they do, they've got to hit a home run on. They've got to nail it and not be a draft where we go, oh, they could have drafted Kawhi. Oh, they could have had Curry. They could have had Clay. Whatever they've missed on before, they need to be the team that we go, wow, they landed this guy. And if that's the case, then I think that the organization will be better off long-term at least.
Are there any players currently right now that you're keeping an eye on for this franchise? Maybe, like, for me, I really like De'Aaron Fox, and heading into March Madness, I really want to see what he can do in high-pressured situations, because I've been watching him a little bit, and it seems like at times, you know, he can be locked and loaded and involved, but at times he can also stagger off a little bit and kind of fall to kind of being in the background a little bit. So that's my one guy that I think the Kings definitely should be targeting in the draft. But are there any players, more than just one, or if just one specifically, that you think the Kings should be targeting right now?
Yeah, I like Fox, the guy you mentioned. I like Fultz, Markelle Fultz at Washington. I like Lonzo Ball, and I like Monk at Kentucky. Those are the four of my favorites. I haven't watched everybody. I don't watch as much college as I used to, but the parts that I have, those four have been guys that I you know, nobody's a can't miss, but I couldn't see how they wouldn't help the Kings down the road if they were able to land any of those guys.
We keep hearing these conversation of, you know, Darren Collison potentially being the other shoe to fall off for a deal to be made for a guy like him right now in free agency. I think the Cavs would be a team that's going to be highly interested in him. Do you think the Kings are not done after making this move?
Yeah, I don't think they are. I mean, I don't know any, I don't have any insight on that specifically, but I just think this makes sense. Once you've started that, I think you still try to compete for eight, but you've also said, well, we've dealt our best player. We are building for an off season where we're going to have a lot of money, and why wouldn't you continue that trend? I can see a need for Darren Collison. I could see a need on a team for Kosta Kupis. I could see a need on a team for Ty Lawson. Even if they kept Matt Barnes, someone may want a veteran like that, or even a Ben McLemore. So I think there's some pieces that they conceivably could move. I don't think it's going to be a huge deal in return, but if it's somebody you could get back that's signed, either young and signed for a couple of years that fits into a nice salary slot, or another expiring that you're getting back that you're just going to kind of want to look at, I think it's something the Kings should do. I mean, I you mentioned Collison to the Cavs, or I think Ty Lawson would be great there. There's a lot of spots that I think Kupis could help too. So I think there's a couple of things that the Kings could do, and this may have just started that and kind of sped up that process with Thursday's deadline coming.
Let's say the Kings, they come back, they play Denver, I believe they play Charlotte as well. I mean, in all honesty, their schedule is not terrible to end out the year. I think they actually have a very favorable schedule. I mean, just looking at the first five games after the break, you have the Nuggets, you have the Hornets, the Timberwolves, and then the Nets, right? And then the Jazz, that's number five. So, I mean, their schedule is really not that bad. There are definitely games there that they can win, but what team is there? Are they going to have on the floor? I think is still a question mark leading up to that Thursday deadline. If you had to make a prediction right now between what point guard they would keep, either Ty Lawson or Darren Collison, or maybe they trade away both. That can be an option for you as well. But who do you think they keep?
I think they'll keep Lawson because he'll be cheaper, and I think they'll go after another point guard, whether they draft one or free agency. But that's my gut telling me. Or that both are gone. I wouldn't even be entirely surprised that if both were gone. But what the other part, Vince, that I'm really interested to hear, we know that it's been reported, and I know some guys that have left the team that said DeMarcus has been a difficult teammate, though we've heard it's been a little better this year. I'm anxious to hear what the players have to say come Thursday and the weeks ahead about what it was like, and if in fact they're happy he's gone or if they're mad he's gone. I don't know how they're going to react to that. But
did you see Tolliver's tweet?
Yeah, like we're going to keep on pushing. It's a business.
Or I saw the shake my head one as well.
Okay.
And then I think it was Temple. Temple was the one we're going to keep on pushing, Sacramento. And I saw like Temple did the shake my head tweet.
Yeah, they're probably looking like fans too. Like, hey, they would have thought. I mean, initially you're thinking, wow, did they traded with New Orleans? Did Anthony Davis come back? Did Drew Holiday come back? So you're thinking about those kind of things. But those guys also have to look at it as it is a business. It's an opportunity, and it's going to be more minutes for some of those guys and more opportunity. And the reality is the worst-case scenario I thought that could have happened this year, the Kings were still on track for it, was somewhere in that 30 to 35 win range and not make the playoffs. They clearly were targeting 8, and if they didn't get there and they had to pay DeMarcus in the offseason, that to me was a hard sell. It really was. So I think they realized – we're just not going to jump into this long-term contract, and we're going to see if we can do it another way. And it's too bad in all of this that they didn't trade Rudy before this, because maybe they could even be on a different track, but they couldn't, or they didn't, and now here they are.
Yeah, and it's also pretty unfortunate that they were 5-2 over their last 7 games leading into this All-Star break, and then to have this news happen. Did you see the video of DeMarcus Cousins? And I mean, you've got to talk to him a little bit. How do you think he's feeling about this right now?
I think there's no doubt his feelings are hurt. I mean, he's a very loyal person, a little bit emotional too. Part of him may be happy that he's going to New Orleans in the sense where it's a new start. I mean, there's some excitement in that, but I don't know what this is going to do for them in the final 25 games for them either. I mean, it sounds exciting, but I'm not sure that they're the heads on, you know, the favorite to get 8. Over time, maybe next year with whatever they do in the offseason, they could be a pretty scary team. But I bet he's hurt. I bet there's no doubt whenever the schedule comes out next year and they're coming to Sacramento, he's going to want to drop 50 and 25. But this is what I've been telling people too, Vince. I think the reality is when you watch DeMarcus Cousins on the Pelicans, he's going to have the nights that he goes off and has crazy stats that we've known. And there's going to be nights where he literally goes off and gets a technical, gets suspended, gets thrown out of a game. I just think that some of those things have been debilitating to the organization and to the management and to the players, and that won't be their issue anymore.
I want to flip the conversation now. This will probably be the last topic on this because this is something that I don't see a lot of people on Twitter really talking about, and that is, what do you think the thoughts are on a guy on the thoughts of Dave Joerger right now? Because, again, they were 5-2 heading into this All-Star break. They were 1.5 games back from the Denver Nuggets. And again, they have a favorable schedule to end out the year. Guys were starting to play for one another. They were talking about passing. Yes, they had those 2 big wins against Boston and the comeback against the Atlanta Hawks. They were starting to look like an actual team. And now it's hitting the reset button, possibly going through the youth movement like we've talked about. And again, looking at this draft, how do you think he's feeling after hearing a deal like this? Or do you even think he was involved in this decision?
Well, I think he was probably informed about it, that this was a possibility. But this is my gut reaction to what Dave Joerger is thinking. Coaches love 2 things. 1, a challenge, and 2, a spot where it's a win-win scenario. And the win-win I'm talking about is not that he's excited that DeMarcus is gone. Nobody thinks they can make the 8 now. And if they don't, no one would blame Coach Joerger. So he's in a perfect scenario that if he coaches this team to the 8th seed, people will consider that he's done an amazing job with his best player gone, his top 2 players out. I mean, Rudy as well. So if he does that, that boosts his resume as, wow, he's a really good coach. He got this team to the 8th seed without Rudy Gay for a big portion of the season and DeMarcus for the final 25. And if this team goes 5-20 the rest of the way, no one's going to blame Coach Yeager at all. So I think he's in a fantastic spot, to be honest with you.
Yeah, my thought on it right now was, you know, as a coach, you always want to try and make the playoffs. I think that's definitely what they were pushing for, especially with the team looking better. So at that point, he was probably a little disappointed. But you're right, there's a win-win scenario here. Win part for him is he wanted to come to a situation where it was going to be his team. He was going to be able to be whatever, make this team whatever he wanted to be. And now with DeMarcus Cousins gone, you're not building around him. I don't think you're building around a franchise centerpiece in DeMarcus Cousins. You're building around what Dave Yeager would want for his system that he's running. And as we've seen, especially from the big man position with Willie Cauley-Stein and how it took him a little while to develop, you see that it's kind of mechanical, right? The way they run their plays. It's really set plays that they're running, at least to start off a lot of these games and to start off a lot of their sets. So maybe that does benefit him in that way. And you're right. If he can make the playoffs and he can take that challenge and boost his resume, that's a win for him as well. And then for the Kings, hey, we traded away. We get to make these young moves, these if moves that could potentially make this team better. But again, I still say this trade is bad, but for Dave Yeager, you're right. It's definitely a win-win scenario, and hopefully it's the win to where the Sacramento Kings and its fans could still make the playoffs. Because honestly, right now, you look at Twitter, you look at the reactions, I think Kings fans are really hurt right now. And
oh, no doubt.
I'm giving them a hug. This is my hug to them, Jason.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, social media is an instant reaction, and I would say, if all those people that are unhappy, which there are a lot of them, I've seen it too, it's because they didn't think they got enough in return. So I don't know it's as much as they're disappointed they traded Cousins. It's because they didn't get what they wanted in return. Well, the what they got in return isn't defined yet. The beginning part is, and I feel for a guy like Buddy Hield, because I don't know that he's going to come in and be able to satisfy that group at all, because he's not going to get Cousins numbers. There's no way. And Tyreek's just here probably for the filler for the final 25 games. Langston Galloway, who knows if he's on the team. It really is about whatever those other two picks turn into or what they do with that. I mean, let's say the Kings keep their top 10 pick, keep a Pelicans pick, and move both of them and get a number one and a player. All right, well, then that's part of this deal. So the finality of it isn't done, but I can also point it in another direction. Let's say they fail on the two picks and you lose Cousins, then everybody's going to hate it. So it's not done where it's going to be. We have to wait and see on that. But the immediate part is, hey, we just traded an all-star for what? I think that's a pretty natural reaction.
How do you think Vlade and Vivek's images right now in Sacramento? Do you think that they're going to be able that this draft is really going to define how they recover from a trade like this?
Probably. And the only other positive I would say there is that those two guys were not on the same page before. Not that there was anything nasty in that, but that Vlade was more willing to make a trade. Vivek was not going to do it. Well, now if he obviously was willing to do it, I look at that as something somewhat encouraging, that at least the front office and management is closer to being on the same page. Whatever they've deemed as their plan, which seems to be trying to build for the future, trying to build from the draft and from some young players and some free agency, well, there's some continuity there. Now you build it, you got a coach that's not going anywhere. The longest tenure player now has got to be, gosh, who is it? Ben McLemore.
I mean, so, yep.
Yeah, so this thing is rotating through, and they're starting fresh. And then see, some of the goals are still there. They want to get eight. That can still happen, probably not predicted to happen. And if it doesn't happen, then you go to work on this offseason, which will be very, very important for what it's going to look like the next couple of years.
Is it going to be weird to see Tyreek Evans not wearing number 13?
Yeah, it will be. It will be a little bit. I mean, because part of us will remember what he was like when he was here. He hasn't been that same guy. Even though he's had flashes, he's just not 100% healthy. And also knowing that it's really he's here for 25 games. I mean, I'd be shocked if he re-signed. So that'll be strange. But if he comes in and helps the team a little bit, I mean, he has gotten better as a player. I think that's encouraging. But hopefully he's healthy enough. And all the other guys have just got hurt. I mean, Malachi and Garrett, and well, Omri's gone now, but he had been hurt, and Rudy. It's a team that they have so many wounded guys here at the end of by the All-Star break.
Yeah, the year of the hamstring injury leading up to
that's
the.
Right.
I think last year was like, what was it, the stomach bug? Everyone was getting the flu, and then this year it's the hamstring, and always around the All-Star break and All-Star weekend.
I know it.
It's crazy, but that's our time here, guys. I want to thank you all so much for listening, Jason, host of the Locked On Kings podcast and a part of KHDK Radio here out here in Sacramento. Where can the fans find you online, and how can they find your show?
Yeah, if you go to online, Jason at Jason Ross 1140 on Twitter, of course on the radio station as well, at Sports 1140 KHDK, doing King stuff as well, pre-half and post for them, and then our Locked On Kings podcast. Just go to Audio Boom or Stitcher or iTunes, subscribe there, and a lot of good podcasts out there, Vince. You guys as well, and everybody doing the Kings thing. It's exciting times, and this is one of those days that, for better or worse, it's very, very topical. So thank you for having me on. But yeah, they can find me on Locked On Kings. Just search for it in Audio Boom, iTunes, or Stitcher.
Guys, go listen to his show, Daily Kings News, every single day on his podcast. Great stuff. Follow him at JasonRoss1140, right, on Twitter? JasonRoss1140? Or is it underscore? Bam, no underscore. JasonRoss1140. Go follow him. Listen to him on Sports KHK 1140 on the Sacramento radio stations. You guys can follow me on all social media platforms of at VM Center. Check out the site at SackKingsNation.com. And leave us a rating, both on Locked On Kings and on this podcast here. Let us know what you guys think about the show. Give us a thumbs up. And until next time, Sacramento Kings fans, here's our hug. Bye-bye.